Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here today in Phnom Penh. As you know, the President has had some bilats this morning and some other meetings that he's participating in. I have Ben Rhodes, Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications, who can give you an overview of the President's day and also can answer questions about the meetings, about the trip, and other matters. I'm here to take questions on non-foreign policy related issues, if you have any. And with that, I'll turn it over to Ben.
Jay, before you begin, there's a breaking story about the Secretary of State going to Israel. Can you confirm
that? We'll address that, Mark.
We'll address that right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, I'll just give a quick update of the President's meetings this morning, and then an update on the situation in Gaza. The first meeting the President had this morning was with the Trans-Pacific Partnership countries that are in attendance here at the summit. The countries reviewed the progress that has been made in negotiations over the course of the last year. They also discussed the countries that have come into the TPP. Canada and Mexico have joined. Japan and Thailand have expressed an interest in joining. They're committed to getting those negotiations concluded with an aim to doing so next year so that they can complete that trade agreement. Then the President, as you saw, met with Prime Minister Noda of Japan. They reviewed the bilateral security cooperation that we do through our alliance. They discussed regional issues, including maritime security, and some of the territorial disputes associated with that. And they addressed Japan and its aspirations to join the TPP and agreed to continue negotiations towards an achievement of that goal, which we believe would strengthen the TPP and be good for both Japan and the United States. Then the President met with Premier Wen Jiabao of China. This was the last meeting that the two leaders will have, given Wen Jiabao's moving out of that role next year. They discussed the importance of the U.S. and China consistently maintaining our cooperation on a bilateral, regional, and global level. They discussed security issues, including Iran. They discussed economic issues, including our commitment to strengthen the rules of the road in the global economy. And they discussed regional stability, reaffirming that China is a part of our engagement here in this important region, a critical part of that engagement, and our interest, again, in resolving territorial disputes and maritime disputes consistent with international rules of the road. A couple of things on Gaza. Last night we read out to you the President, after leaving the dinner, called President Morsi of Egypt and then Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. He again reaffirmed our belief that it's important for there to be a de-escalation in the region, one that again brings an end to rocket fire into Israeli cities. And then later that night, the President spoke to President Morsi again to discuss Egypt's constructive role in seeking to bring about a de-escalation in the region. then again, to Mark's question, this morning, Secretary Clinton and the President spoke again about the situation in Gaza and the calls that he'd done. And they agreed that it makes sense for the Secretary to travel to the region. So Secretary Clinton will depart today, and she'll travel to Jerusalem, Ramallah, and Cairo, leaving from Phnom Penh. She'll meet with regional leaders, beginning with our Israeli partners, to consult on the situation in Gaza. Her visits will build on the engagement that we've undertaken over the last several days, including the engagement by President Obama and Secretary Clinton with leaders in the region to support a de-escalation of the violence and a durable outcome that ends the rocket attacks on Israeli cities and restores a broader calm in the region. Again, as President Obama noted in his conversation with President Morsi, we commend Egypt's efforts to de-escalate the situation and are hopeful that they will be successful. On her trip, Secretary Clinton will emphasize the United States' interest in a peaceful outcome that protects and enhances Israel's security and regional stability, an outcome that can lead to improved conditions for the civilian residents of Gaza, and that can reopen the path to fulfill the aspirations of Palestinians and Israelis for two states living side by side in peace and security. And of course, she will continue to express our concern about the loss of civilian life on both sides. And with that, I'll take your questions. Jim?
You've said that the precipitating incidents in this is a rocket fire coming from Gaza. What is it that Secretary Clinton can take to the region? What can she offer to Hamas to provide incentives to make them stop doing this? And then could you also talk in more detail about any discussions on East China Sea disputes and South China Sea disputes and how to resolve
them? Well, sure. On your first question, again, the reason there's a conflict in Gaza is because of the rocket fire that's been launched at Israeli civilians indiscriminately for many months now. And any solution to this challenge has to include an end to that rocket fire. At the same time, I think we all agree that the best way to solve this is through diplomacy, so that you have a peaceful settlement that ends that rocket fire and allows for a broader calm in the region. So what we've been doing, again, is working with our Israeli partners to reinforce our close cooperation on security matters and our support for their right to defend themselves, but also to work with countries like Egypt that have relationships with the Palestinians so that they may use that influence and those relationships, again, to encourage a de-escalation. So we want to broaden those discussions as we move forward with Secretary Clinton going to the region so that, again, we can build on the constructive role that Egypt is playing. And send a clear message that it's in nobody's interest to see an escalation of the military conflict. So again, she'll be speaking to Israelis, and her first stop will be in Israel, where she'll meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, again, to reinforce our close cooperation. Then she'll be meeting with Palestinians in Ramallah, and she'll be meeting with Egyptian leaders in Cairo. And again, the goal throughout that trip is for everybody to use their influence and their voices to encourage a peaceful outcome rather than an escalation. But again, our bottom line is that peaceful outcome has to include an end to rocket fire that threatens Israel. With respect to the East China Sea, our view is that there needs to be a lowering of tension around these territorial disputes. There's no reason to risk any potential escalation, particularly when you have two of the world's largest economies, China and Japan, associated with some of those disputes. So again, I think President Obama's message is there needs to be a reduction of the tensions in the East China Sea and a process going forward more broadly to ensure that these types of disputes don't risk escalation.
Does it help that tension, though, if there are U.S., if the U.S. is participating in Japan military exercises?
Well, it helps, we believe, the regional security and regional stability to have the United States, as a cornerstone of our engagement in the region, maintain its close alliance with Japan. You know, we believe that the alliance we have and the military cooperation we have with Japan has been an anchor of stability in Asia for decades. And it's helped, by the way, create the context that has allowed for broader prosperity and the peaceful rise of China. So we believe our cooperation with Japan is essential to Japan's security. But it is also constructive in ensuring that this part of the world maintains the type of stability that has allowed it to have such economic growth. Chuck?
Who is she meeting with in Ramallah? Is she just meeting with Abbas and members of Fatah, or is she meeting with some member of Hamas?
I'll allow the State Department to speak to the specifics of her schedule beyond her first meetings with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I can assure you that she'll be meeting with the Palestinian Authority. The United States does not engage directly with Hamas. Hamas has not met the conditions that we've set for many years to renounce terrorism, to recognize Israel's right to exist, and to abide by pre-existing agreements. So we do not engage directly with Hamas.
What does she hope to get out of the end?
Look, the Palestinian Authority, is the leadership of the Palestinians. President Abbas is the elected leader of the Palestinians. So they are a critical voice in this, in these matters, both as it relates to what's happening in Gaza and our efforts going forward to improve the situation in Gaza, but also in terms of our broader efforts to pursue peace between Israelis and Palestinians. So we believe that President Abbas and the Palestinian Authority are critical partners in our efforts in the region, and it's important for us to reaffirm that with her visit.
Is this essentially an attempt to send the message that U.S. is trying to play in the role of mediator here?
What we've been doing, again, is working with a number of countries to play the role in supporting a de-escalation. So her trip is building on the discussions that we've had over the course of the last several days, again, with President Morsi of Egypt, with Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey. The Secretary has been in touch with Ban Ki-moon, who's also traveling to the region, as well as a number of her counterparts. So this will extend those consultations. And what we hope for is enough support in the region and internationally for a de-escalation, for an end to rocket fire that can provide for calm and avoid, you know, an escalation of a very difficult challenge in Gaza.
When is she leaving?
She's leaving from Phnom Penh. So she's leaving here later today. I don't have an exact time, but she'll be leaving from the summit. And again, the President and Secretary Clinton have been talking about the situation throughout the trip. They spoke about it last night. Then after the President's calls late last night, he met with Secretary Clinton this morning and was able to update her on his calls and to discuss the way forward. And then throughout the day at the summit site, the two of them were in discussions along with Tom Donilon, the National Security Advisor, who's also been talking to his counterparts. Again, we believe that the best way to advance the discussions we've had with leaders in the region is for Secretary Clinton to take this trip, again, beginning with our close partner, Israel.
What leverage does she bring? What leverage does the U.S. have other than trying to gather support from other players? There have been a lot of non-negotiable demands from Hamas.
Look, it's not a matter of leverage. It's a matter of what's in everybody's best interest. It is not in the interest of the Palestinians and the people of Gaza for there to be an escalation of this conflict. That would bring with it a huge cost. As the President said the other day, we believe Israel has right to defend itself. Israel will make decisions about its own security. At the same time, if we can achieve the goal of an end to rocket fire peacefully, that's clearly preferable. And that's a view that's shared by Israelis and by leaders in the region. So I think what's at stake here is whether or not we can come together and again see leaders take decisions to support a de-escalation that ultimately can avert a greater loss of life from what we've seen in the previous several days.
Ben, if you were able to characterize how effective Morsi has been so far, how would you characterize the way he's handled the situation?
You know, the President and the Secretary believe that the Egyptians have been quite constructive in the conversations we've had with them, that they've expressed a sincere commitment to support a de-escalation here. What's important now is to, again, continue to pursue that course, to use the influence that they have over the situation to encourage that course. So to date, we're encouraged by the cooperation and the consultation we've had with the Egyptian leadership. We want to see that, again, support a process that can de-escalate the situation. But again, the bottom line still remains that Hamas has to stop this rocket fire. So ultimately, they're the ones who are going to have to be a part of a solution that ends the type of terror that Israeli citizens have faced over so many months with this barrage of rockets coming into Israeli territory. I wouldn't want to draw comparisons at this point. Obviously, this has been a conflict that has been going on for decades. Egypt has been a critical part of our effort to manage that conflict and pursue peace. That was the case under President Mubarak. Continues to be the case under President Morsi, who has upheld the peace treaty with Israel. What we've seen is, again, our engagement has been focused on practical and constructive cooperation that can reduce tensions. But ultimately, again, it's going to have to be Hamas within Gaza that takes the step of, again, not pursuing rocket fire in Israeli territory. But we believe that Egypt can and should be a partner in seeking to bring about that outcome.
On the ground in Egypt, Morsi is getting a lot of feedback, pushback, that the people in Egypt are saying he's not being aggressive enough over this train situation. He's helping out the people in Gaza more. Do you think domestic politics will affect his power in helping negotiate and deal with Hamas?
Well, I'd say a couple things. First of all, in the call last night with President Morsi, President Obama did express condolences for what was an awful train wreck that took the lives of dozens of people, including many children. And President Morsi is, of course, focused on that. I think as it relates to the suffering of the people in Gaza, though, our message to everybody, the Egyptians, the Palestinians, other regional and international partners, is that the suffering that they are facing will only increase if this conflict increases. So therefore, those who have the best interests of the people of Gaza at heart will want to see an end to this conflict and a de-escalation of this conflict. As the President said the other day, any escalation of the military conflict would only bring about greater suffering and loss of life on both the Israeli and Palestinian side. So that should be the basis for people to come together and avoid that outcome. And again, the only way you're going to have that outcome is if the precipitating factor of this conflict, the rocket fire, comes to an end.
You keep using the phrase de-escalate the situation. Are you avoiding using the word ceasefire?
No, there are many ways that you can achieve the goal of a de-escalation. Again, what our bottom line is an end to rocket fire. We're open to any number of ideas for achieving that goal. We've discussed any number of ideas for accomplishing that goal. But it's going to have to begin with a reduction of tensions and space created for the situation to calm. So we'll be discussing going forward, as we have been over the last several days, what are the various ways in which we can accomplish that goal.
Why is that? Second, on TPP, the Prime Minister today, he wasn't able to announce an official decision by Japan to join the negotiations. Were you hoping for that official decision today, and are you disappointed? And last, can you give me a sense of how much of the conversation revolved around the Senkaku Islands, and what was the President's message to Prime Minister Noda?
On the Senkakus? First of all, in the time, I couldn't, I'm not aware of exactly how long it was. Obviously, this was on the margins of a summit, so you're not able to have kind of open-ended discussion. But my understanding is that it was a good and friendly discussion between the two leaders. With respect to the TPP, we did not have an expectation that there would be some final agreement today. There are still a number of issues at play. As I said, we very much welcome Japan's interest in the TPP. We think they could contribute a lot to the agreement, and I think we want to continue those negotiations going forward. There are issues, again, that we're interested in, like autos, where we want to make sure that American automakers have access to Japanese markets and have a level playing field both here in the United States and in Japan. We know that there are issues that are of interest to the Japanese as well. So we're going to continue our discussions around those issues, with the goal very much being Japan coming into the TPP, and we commend Prime Minister Noda's leadership in supporting that outcome. With respect to the Senkakus, again, it came up. It wasn't discussed extensively. Our message was that we, again, support our close friend and ally, Japan, and we believe, however, the best way to deal with the situation going forward is to avoid potential escalation, a potential misunderstanding that could lead to an escalation. So I think it's in the interest of China, Japan, the United States, and the region to see a reduction of tensions around that issue as well.
I'm on the China stuff on Iran. Can you elaborate that a little bit more?
Well, I think they were reviewing, given that this was Premier Wen's last meeting with the President, they were reviewing a number of the issues that they've worked on together over the last 4 years. One of them is Iran sanctions. And so it wasn't so much a discussion about specific issues as much as it was a reiteration of the fact that we have had cooperation from the Chinese on issues like Iran sanctions. We need to maintain that cooperation going forward, particularly in our sanctions regime, because we share the goal of diplomatic resolution to the Iranian nuclear issue. So that's the nature of that discussion. Laura?
Thank you. On the South China Sea issue, it looks like what's happening is that
you know, China is saying that there's been an agreement not to, quote, internationalize the issue. Presumably that means deal with it in a forum like the East Asia Summit. Philippines and other countries are saying, no, we don't. We haven't, don't have an agreement along those lines. What is the U.S. understanding of the state of play on this issue, and is this something that President Obama plans to, has already brought up or plans to bring up?
I think what we've seen for a period of time now is a belief by the United States that there needs to be a process to discuss issues associated with maritime security in the South China Sea, and that the forums like the East Asia Summit are important for that, because these need to be discussed in a multilateral context so that we can reaffirm the principles of maritime security that can guide a resolution to something like the South China Sea. So for instance, the U.S. Believes that any solution has to be consistent with international law, has to preserve the free flow of commerce that is important not just to the countries in this region, but to the world. The U.S. is not a claimant in the South China Sea, but we have significant interest there, given its role in the global economy. We also want to see continued momentum on a diplomatic process. So for instance, ASEAN has been talking to China about a code of conduct that could help avoid misunderstandings, escalations within the South China Sea. We believe that's the type of diplomatic effort that needs to maintain momentum going forward. So the President will raise this, certainly, in the East Asia Summit. We expect other leaders to raise it at the East Asia Summit as well. And that's exactly why we feel like it's so important to engage in international architecture like this in this region. Because as all these countries grow, as there are issues that need to be resolved associated with the rapid growth of these countries, you need to have forums where you can come together to address them. So we put the issue of maritime security on the agenda last year along with many other countries, and we expect that to be a sustained process with ASEAN, with China, and through the EAS. And what that can do is create the context for a resolution through diplomacy. So I expect we'll raise it here. I expect other countries will. And we believe that's a very positive and constructive step going forward.
So what's the current state of play right now in terms of, my understanding is that Cambodia, as the host, has some control over what is and isn't dealt with at the summit. And could you just explain how that all works?
Well, first of all, I think the current state of play more broadly is that last year you saw a lot of countries come forward, the vast majority of countries in this region, and address maritime security in the South China Sea at the EAS. Since then, that's created, again, space for diplomatic efforts like negotiation of a code of conduct and a set of other discussions. Here in Cambodia, the Cambodians, of course, have a degree of say over the agenda and what the product of the summit is. But at the same time, nations can bring to the table whatever they want. And we very much expect that nations will bring to the table maritime security and the South China Sea. And with ASEAN, we discussed maritime security as well. And there's a significant interest in ASEAN to see maritime security stay on the agenda in these forums going forward. So it's certainly going to be the case that it's on the agenda here. It's certainly going to be the case that we're going to have a number of partners who are committed, again, to seeing that there's a diplomatic process for resolving these conflicts consistent with international rules of the road, rather than leaving it to bilateral discussions between individual nations. We think that's not the way to resolve the issues in the South China Sea. We believe that these need to be done consistent with international law and discussed in multilateral fora.
Ben, it's been observed this week that right as the President and the administration is trying to show again that it's interested in pivoting to Asia, that events in the Middle East again have, you know, sort of raised its head and sort of in some ways overshadowed or at least have been part of the message here. Does that raise any, can you comment on whether that raises any risk about sort of so publicly saying we're sort of pivoting to this direction? Is it hard to sort of focus, leave the focus in one, or can you do both?
At the risk of having a double metaphor with a pivot, we believe that the United States can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think you saw evidence of that the last few days, where you had a truly historic visit by the President of the United States to Burma, and a clear indication from both the government and people of that country that they want to move in a democratic direction and they want a deeper relationship with us, which we believe can be a tremendous step forward, both for the advance of democracy, but also for a very important relationship that the United States could have with Burma going forward. So that is a significant thing that we'll take away from this trip, even as throughout the last several days, the President, the Secretary, Tom Donilon, were in touch with counterparts on the situation in Gaza. You know, the pivot, in many respects, reflects not just the time that we're spending here, which is significant, but it's also resource allocation. And so much of our resources the last 10 years have been in Iraq, principally, and then Afghanistan. And so as those resources are dramatically reduced, that not only creates time and space for the President and other senior officials, it allows for us to do things like prioritize our security presence in this region, prioritize our economic engagement in this region, and prioritize our support for democracy and human rights in this region, which was such an important part of this trip as well. So we'll continue to move forward with our pivot, even as we'll manage the inevitable crises and challenges that will come up in other regions. Jessica?
Back to Israel and Gaza. A couple questions. If you mentioned it, I missed it. With whom is she meeting in Egypt? What role are you looking for Turkey to play? It sounds like you're asking them to play a more involved role, and why isn't she meeting there as well? And more broadly speaking, are you asking Israel, what does the end game look like? Have you encouraged them to think about it? And can you describe to us what a ramp down would look like for them?
Well, first of all, I just want to leave it to the State Department to fill in the details of her schedule. We obviously just took the decision to pursue this trip as coming out of the engagements that the President and Secretary have had over the course of the last several days. We know she'll meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. You know, we know she'll meet with the Palestinian Authority leadership, presumably in Ramallah. And then in Cairo, she'll meet with a range of Egyptian leaders. They'll have updates on her schedule. I think with respect to Turkey, we do believe that they are another country like Egypt that has influence with Hamas, with the Palestinians. The President has spoken to Prime Minister Erdogan. One of the people that Secretary Clinton's been in touch with the last several days is Foreign Minister Davutoğlu of Turkey. So she'll continue to be in touch with the Turks. And they, too, are part of this effort, an international effort, to encourage a de-escalation. In terms of what that would look like, again, our belief is in the short term, that has to involve an end to rocket fire and also a restoration of calm within Gaza. And that's necessary to create space to have a broader discussion about the fundamental issues at stake. Ultimately, what we want to achieve is two states living side by side in peace and security. And that is going to be much harder to achieve if you're going to have conflicts like what we've seen in Gaza, which make it that much more difficult to pursue what is already an incredibly difficult challenge. So we need to walk through the door here of restoring calm to the region and then address some of the underlying challenges, both within Gaza, where, of course, we've worked to support progress in the humanitarian situation there, as well as an end to terror and rocket fire, but then also more generally, getting back on a track towards the peace that we've been seeking for so many years. Matt?
Yeah, Ben, is the administration specifically asking Prime Minister Netanyahu to hold off on any ground invasion while all these efforts are underway, while the diplomatic initiative begins?
As we've said, we think Israel's right to defend itself. We think that Israel will make its own decisions about the military operations and decisions that it undertakes. However, at the same time, we believe that Israelis, like the United States, like other countries, would prefer to see their interests met diplomatically and peacefully. You know, as the President said the other day, an Israeli operation of that nature would bring with it great cost to Palestinians in Gaza, but also to Israelis, because inevitably it would involve Israeli casualties. So we, again, want to support the goals that Israel has. We share the goals that Israel has. And we and the Israelis both believe that if you can achieve those goals peacefully, that's preferable. But ultimately, they're going to have to make their own decisions about what they need to do to defend themselves. And we believe that they have every right to defend their citizens from the threat of these rockets coming in. And in addition to that, as they do, you know, we're going to continue to provide them with the type of support that we have with the Iron Dome system, which has been quite effective in protecting Israeli citizens from incoming rocket fire.
Could you be more specific about whether the president has asked them to hold off on an invasion?
No. You know, the president's been very clear that, you know, Israel is going to make its own security decisions. Again, that doesn't change the basic fact that it's just common sense that if you can achieve those goals diplomatically, that would be in everybody's interest. But again, our bottom line from the beginning has been that we understand that Israel has a right to defend itself, and ultimately they're going to make their decisions about how to do that. But if you step back and if you look at what's in the best interest of the Palestinian people, the Israeli people, and the region, it's a restoration of calm and not an escalation of the conflict.
We have just time for one or two more.
Yeah.
Yes. One follow-up question about Senkaku. Is my understanding correct that President Obama raised this issue in the discussion with Japanese leader and Chinese leader? And secondly, could you tell us that what was the reaction of the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao?
The reaction of Premier Wen on the Senkakus? I'm not aware that that issue came up in the meeting with Premier Wen. I think that the President and Premier Wen had a broader discussion about maritime security and the need to resolve disputes involved with maritime security peacefully. With Prime Minister Noda, I'm not aware of who raised the issue, but this is something we've been talking to you know, our Japanese allies about for some time now. Again, our baseline is we, of course, are fully committed to Japan and its security. That's the cornerstone of our alliance. We just, again, believe that it's in Japan's interest, it's in China's interest, it's in the world's interest that the second and third largest economies in the world are able to reduce tensions around this issue. So we ultimately think that, again, that's a good outcome for Japan.
Do you think, in light of the crisis, that it's possible that Secretary Clinton might stay on longer, that the President might want her to change her time?
You know, I've not heard any discussion of Secretary Clinton staying on longer. I think that, obviously, right now we're dealing with an urgent challenge, you know, with a window where we're trying to affect the situation in our discussions with countries in the region, and she's, of course, been an important part of that. You know, I think, stepping back, what you saw on this trip was a recognition of the fact that this is the last trip that she'll be on with the President. I was talking to him earlier today about you know, the emotion around that, the discussions around that. And you obviously saw his comments in Rangoon. And you know, he was intent, for instance, on bringing her down the front steps of Air Force One when they made the historic landing there. He also said that on the flight back from Rangoon to Cambodia, they spent basically the entire flight alone in his personal office on Air Force One, just reminiscing about the last 4 years. But as the President said, it wasn't just the last 4 years. They've been through a lot together over the last 5 or 6 years. And in fact, you know, unique among people, they've been at this working as hard as they can for 5 or 6 years now. And you know, I think what the President expresses and what he believes is, not only has she done a great job as Secretary of State, but they've really come to become not just partners, but close friends. And that's a friendship that he values very much and that he'll want to continue going forward. But right now, there's urgent business to be done. And as they were reminiscing, they were also talking about the situation in Gaza and the international challenges that remain. You know, we'll be in, I'm sure, very close touch with her as she moves on to the Middle East in the coming days.
Let's do the last one here.
Will there be one more? Jess?
Can I just get a sense where you feel this stands? Are you guys getting any traction from Egypt on what the parameters for a ceasefire would be?
We've been, again, what we think is that the Egyptians are sincere in their belief that it'd be the best outcome for there to be a de-escalation. We have had discussions with them about the nature of a de-escalation, what the ideas are that could advance that goal. We've also been talking to the Israelis, obviously, at every step of the way. so that we're fully coordinated with them. Many other regional players have been involved. The UN Secretary General is going there tomorrow. So there are a number of ideas that are at play. I'm not going to get into the details of them. I think, you know, if you step back, it's not that complicated. I mean, there needs to be, in the first instance, an end to the rocket fire and a restoration of calm. That can create space, again, for a range of discussions that address issues associated with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What is encouraging is we believe that leaders understand what the best outcome would be here. However, you can only achieve that goal if Hamas takes action to stop what they've been doing. So even if you have support from these regional leaders, ultimately that's going to have an effect on the ground on Hamas because they're the ones who precipitated this conflict with their continued rocket fire into Israel.
Hey, Beth, are you sending her, is she going because talks are stuck, or is she going because you think you're close?
Okay. Well, she's going because we've been in discussions with these leaders, and we want to carry those forward. And obviously, the center of gravity for those discussions is in the region. And the president's going to do a lot of work on the phone. He was on the phone until 2:30 in the morning last night. He left dinner and basically dealt with this for several hours. And so he'll continue to reach out to his counterparts. But she is going to go out there to be in the region, to have direct face-to-face discussions with those leaders. I don't want to predict exactly what the outcome of those discussions will be. We all know how difficult this situation is. We all know how charged the issue of Gaza is. We've seen conflict there in the past. So this is a difficult challenge. But again, it's worth the effort of leaders in the United States, in the region, and internationally, to try to bring about the preferred outcome here, which is a peaceful de-escalation.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to miss the plane, guys.
What can they do really at this point? It's really all about Gaza. Hamas has no power with Hamas in the Gaza Strip. So what can they
do? Look, obviously, the Palestinian Authority, as elected leaders of the Palestinian people, need to be a part of this discussion, just broadly. Specifically in Gaza, they're going to need to be a part of the solution in the long term in terms of the goals that we all share in improving the humanitarian situation there, having greater opportunity for the people there, and having an end to terrorism there. So we believe that it's very important that the Palestinian Authority continue to be a part of these discussions. They have legitimacy to be a part of these discussions, and they're clearly going to play a role in the future of the Palestinian people.
Thanks
in a leading role. Yep.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.